wonderful thought as we gather together, home in heaven, in the beautiful land with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to see everybody here. I want to thank everybody for being here this evening. It's been such a great joy so far, and I continue to look forward to the rest of the week as I have the opportunity to be reacquainted with so many people that I've known for many years, that brethren from the congregation, brethren that have been visiting, and it's just been wonderful to gather together here and, of course, to get to know some others that I might have not known beforehand. As brought out, we're talking about weathering the storm, and yesterday we had brought out a lot of verses to point out the fact that there's times in which we just simply don't have to go through the storm if we simply avoid the temptations that Satan lay at our door. And so yesterday we spent so much time on talking about avoiding the storm. This evening we're going to go the opposite direction and talk about the storm we must be willing to go through. So many have the mindset today that once you make your life right with God means that you're not going to face any more storms. That you're simply going to be well off because God is on your side and God is love, and therefore that means everything is going to be simple and easy from this day forward. And though they're not wrong about God being love and God being on your side, it does not mean that we won't face any storms anymore. And so I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson and see that we need to be willing to go and face the storm in the name of our Lord. And so if you will start with me with that point, willing to go through the storm. Start with me in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, and starting with verse 10. Matthew chapter 5, and looking at verse 10. It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so as we look at this and we start our lesson off, it brings out the point that those who are willing to go through these difficult storms, these trials of persecution that the world is going to throw at you, that Satan is going to put on you, that you are blessed. That you need to rejoice in that because you are doing this in the name of the Lord. And we're not the first ones to go through it. It's bringing out the point, look back throughout history, study the Old Testament, look at the prophets. It says they persecuted the prophets who were before you. To sit back and think that we're not going to face any battles, any storms, any trials, because we are on God's side, we are mistaken. Now, we understand, as we brought out earlier this week, that God on our side, we can survive the storm, we can get through the storm, but it does not mean you will not face any. Turn along with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here, Paul is a great example of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 23 is where I want to start in these verses. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, as it reads here, it says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measures, in prisons, more frequently in deaths, often from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the cities, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleepiness often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often, in cold, in nakedness." Look at everything that Paul had went through. Here he is, he brings out the point, you know, I'm working hard, I'm laboring in the name of the Lord, I'm following God, I've put off sin, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. Does that mean he didn't face any storms? No.
He went through it difficultly. He went through a lot. He went continuously preaching the name of God, and he was willing to go through all these things. Never did he stop and say, I'm done. Never did he say, I'm not willing to fight the fight anymore because it's getting too hard. He said, I know these things need to be done for the Lord. And he fought and he stood strong as he went through these trials. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me here and in verse 10. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. I have to read that verse sometimes and ask myself, when's the last time I went through any trials and persecutions? Because I understand, if we are truly doing the job right and following in the footsteps of Christ, it's saying you're going to go through storms. You're going to suffer. You're going to have times in your life that people are not going to accept you. We're going to go through persecutions if we are following our Lord and Savior. Understand, we have to be willing to go in the storm. We have to be willing to stand against Satan. Understand, as we choose a side, you're choosing whom you are going to serve. As we talked about in Joshua 24, he makes that challenge to the children of Israel. Choose who you will serve. Gods of the Egyptians, gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who are you going to serve? And that means you are choosing who your enemy is going to be. And that means Satan is our enemy if we choose to be on God's side. And we have to be willing to stand against Satan. In Ephesians chapter 6, we listed the armor of God earlier in the week, but why do we put on that armor of God? Why do we stand strong with the breastplate of righteousness, with shodding our feet, with the preparation of the gospel, that we continuously carry our sword, our shield, and our helmet? Well, you read in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Because the spiritual host of wickedness, that the ruler of darkness is out there trying to cause us to fall. Because we're in war. We're in a battle. Because we're supposed to be soldiers of Christ. Turn along with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. 2 Timothy 2, and looking there and in verse 3. 2 Timothy 2, and looking at verse 3. Says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with affairs of life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. See here, we're told that we have to continue faithfully in the service of God. That we stand up, and when we choose to obey the gospel, yes, we're choosing that because we want our sins washed away, because we want a home in heaven. But understand, we're also enlisting in the Lord's army. Children sing that song, right? Soldiers. They are soldiers of Christ. We are in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Again, we don't actually sit there and shoot and fly and ride into the cavalry, but we are in the Lord's army. We have a battle, a spiritual war that we are in. We have to be weathering the storm and continuing to fight that good fight. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, again, Satan is out there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Satan is out there like a roaring lion. Do we take that seriously? Do we think about how serious that statement is? That we need to be on guard. Because a lion doesn't just stand out in the wide open as he's trying to find his prey, but rather he blends in to the background. He sits and waits and he pinpoints whom he's going to attack. Waiting for the right opportunity when our guard is down and we're not paying attention. Satan is doing that to you right now. Looking for the opportunity to attack. And we have to be ready for that. We have to be willing to fight Satan, willing to resist him. John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. We need to resist him because the consequences of being on the side of Satan. Read what it says here in John 8. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Again, you choose what side you want to be. You are either children of God or here it's saying you're children of the devil. We have to fight this fight. You have to be willing to resist Satan. You have to be willing to push him away. In John chapter 4, or James chapter 4, and in verse 7. James chapter 4, and in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. There's a battle taking place, a storm that is trying to overtake us, cause us to give up, cause us to say, I can't see outside of the storm. I can't see when the sun's going to rise anymore. I'm just going to give up and let it overtake me. Coming closer and closer to God. And as we do so, we will be victorious as long as we put our faith in God. But understand, Satan's going to use everything he can against us. He's going to do all that he can to cause you to fall. And so sometimes the storms hit real close, right? Sometimes the storms is our own family and friends that we have to be willing to fight that battle. We have to be willing to go through that storm in the name of God. Turn along with me, if you will, into Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and in verse 26. Luke chapter 14 and reading here and in verse 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers, and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And again, we know that the Word of God talks about love. We know that God is love, and we are to put on God's love, and that we're supposed to share that love and do good unto others. But it's making it clear here that we cannot put others above God. That when we have those in our lives, even if it is your family, even if it is mom and dad, even if it is your spouse, even if it is your children, and they try to tell you that it's either me or God, it's either me or your faith, you must choose faith. You must stand your ground. You must go to God in prayer. You must continue to study His Word. You must lean on your brethren so that you can continue to be rooted in the truth and do not allow this storm, this temptation, to pull you away and cause you to miss out on the eternal home in heaven. You have to put God first. Jesus even went through this when He lived His life upon His earth, that He had brethren that did not even believe in Him. Did not believe what he was doing. thought he was crazy. I mean, we know that we're not the only ones that go through that. But it's what you have to be willing to go through. I'm telling you, it's a hard one. It's one that has brought many brethren down. That as they've been faithful many years in their lives, but then someone in their family, whether it's parents, children, spouses, something happens in their life and they start to err off. And that causes them to doubt. That causes them to waver in their faith because they have to accept their children. Because they have to accept mom and dad. We have to stand strong when that storm comes. We can't allow our friends to cause us to fall either. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 33. We have to be sure on who it is that we allow to be our closest friends. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Don't be deceived. I think it's way too often this is a big thing. We are deceived. We have it in our mindset that I can weather the storm even though I surround myself with those who are always swearing and cursing. With those who are always dressed in modest. With those who never come to worship. Never say anything about God. That continuously practice sexual and immoral life. And we think that we are going to be the one that's continuously influencing them. When you're outnumbered. Sometimes we're in groups of 5, 10, 15, 20. And that's who you're always around. And understand, I know we can't take ourselves out of the world. And we need to shine our lights to them. We'll have a lesson later on about helping the world, helping those others in the storm. But understand, we cannot allow their influence to drag us down if we are never spending time with our brethren. Study the New Testament. They were gathering together in the houses daily with their brethren. They weren't continuously just surrounding themselves with the world. I understand we have to go out into work. I understand you have to go to school. I understand we have to go to the grocery store. And we spend our lives in the world. But don't be part of it. We have to withstand that storm. Do not allow others to bring us down. You know, and sometimes it's hard. We can think that maybe they're going to be a good influence. I know they're not a Christian. And I know that you know, you have the young man of God that went and preached the word, and God told him, don't stop in the city, though. You go and preach, but don't stop and eat there. Don't go to anyone's house. You continue to go through. And the old prophet was jealous. The old prophet wanted to participate in that. And so the old prophet sent and said, oh, you know, God spoke to me. He said, you can come to my house. And so he trusted him. He was deceived. Deception. And as he left the old prophet's house, a lion was waiting for him, killed him. Didn't even eat him. Deception is what Satan has been using since the beginning. It's what he done to Eve. Right? He deceived her. Oh, you won't surely die. Rather, your eyes will be opened. We have to make sure we're weathering the storm. We have to be doing this with our Lord and Savior. Do it with Christ. Jesus suffered the storm so that we know how to do it. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, here he's warning those who are willing, thinking about following him then and there. Matthew chapter 8 and looking here and in verse 20, it says, and Jesus said to them, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's making it clear that I understand you're saying you're going to follow me, but be ready. Understand what that means. If you're choosing to follow me, the world's not going to accept you. Understand that you know, even the animals of the world that God created are taken care of, but I don't have somewhere to lay down my head. I don't have a resting place. Are we ready to take that on? In John chapter 15 and verse 20. John chapter 15 and verse 20 again makes it clear What Jesus went through is something that we have to be willing to do ourselves. John 15, and looking there, and in verse 20 it says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." Remember, the world hated Jesus first. And the world hated him, the world will hate us also. What about the life of Christ makes us think that we're going to get it nice and easy? We're following Jesus, being like Jesus, loving like Jesus. Well, Jesus was beaten and spat upon and betrayed and crucified on the cross. Meaning, if we're going to be like Christ, then we are going to face battles. We are going to go through storms, and we are going to suffer as we live our lives in His footsteps. So we continue to be like Him. In Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 30, Matthew 12 and verse 30, as it reads here, it says, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Are we willing to follow Him? Are we truly with our Lord and Savior? Are we with Christ? The apostles in their lives, as they started going forth and preaching the Word of God in Acts chapter 4, if you will. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 17. Acts 4 and verse 17. Here it reads, it says, "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. From now on, they speak to man, not to speak to man in his name." That they're not to continue to speak the name of Christ. In verse 18, "So they called on them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge." And then we go over to the very next chapter, chapter 5, and in verse 40. Again here, as they gather them once more, it says, "They agreed with him, and they said and called for the apostles and beaten them, and they commanded that they should not speak the name of Jesus and let them go." Again, they departed and rejoiced that they were able to suffer in the name of the Lord. Study the Word of God, and we will find out that if you are a man of God, you are going to suffer persecution. That you are signing up and choosing to separate yourself from the world. And the world is going to look at you saying, "Why? Why not participate with us in sexual immoralness? Why not participate with us in being immodest? Why not continue to talk down about other people and talk behind their backs and swear and curse and be drunk? Let's eat, drink, and be merry." And if you don't join in with them, then you're going to feel left out. You're going to feel hurt. You're going to question whether or not you're making the right decision because the crowd is going one way and you're going the opposite direction. That is a storm that we have to be willing to go through. You have to be willing to do it. Are you willing to bear your cross? Jesus took up on the cross for us so that we could have our sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. Are you willing to take up the cross and follow Him? In Luke chapter 14 and verse 27. Luke chapter 14 and looking at verse 27. It says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple." Understand, that cross can be many things, and it's different from person to person. You may have never struggled with drunkenness, drinking. Alcohol is not a storm that you have faced at all. But for someone else, it is the worst storm they'll ever face. You've never struggled with lusting and adultery. But for another, they have to face that battle every day. Some don't have a problem with swearing and cursing. They just don't understand why people let that come out of their mouth. While others struggle with it. That's your cross that you are willing to put off, to fight with, to continue to thrive in the name of the Lord so that you can have that home in heaven, so that you can say, I am a child of God. I am a Christian. And you can shine his light forward. Read further here in Luke chapter 14. Pick up in verse 28. It says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to go meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the others is still a great way off, he sends delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Have you considered the cost of what it takes to follow our Lord and Savior? To be a child of God? Understand, that means that it's not going to be an easy fight. It's not going to be a walk in the park, but rather you have to be willing to go through the storm. You have to be willing to stand with the Lord when others will not. And that sometimes means our own brothers and sisters in Christ. We know that happens. Paul had to rebuke Peter to his face. Again, that couldn't have been easy. Again, Paul makes it clear that he understands that these men are more qualified. They walk with Christ. He understands that they've done a lot of good, but he also knows that he is in the right. He knows what God had shown them, that he has been able to perform these miracles among the Gentiles, that even Peter himself was there and was able to see the Holy Spirit come on the house of Cornelius. And yet here Peter is not willing to eat with them because of other people. And so he had to be willing to stand his ground for himself and for others, so that Peter would get back on track, so that Barnabas would get back on track, James and all the others that were around him, saying, what are you guys doing? Are we willing to stand that ground? Are you willing to continue to fight that good fight and face the storm with our Lord? If so, we want to extend the invitation to you this evening to come forward. If you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died so that your sins can be washed away, we ask you the question, what hinders you from being baptized this evening? What keeps you from making that commitment and saying, I wish to enlist in the army of God and coming forward, being baptized and raised up in newness of life, putting on Christ, knowing that he will be with you from this day forward to continue to weather the storm? If you're here this evening and you've already obeyed the gospel, but the storm has been hard, the storm has been beating down at your door, and you've been struggling, maybe you've even slipped, and you want to make it right, you want to get back on the right track, you want to grab that lifeline, do so. If you need to pray to God, then pray to him. Seek his forgiveness, seek his help, seek the Lord's strength. Or if you need the prayers of the brethren and there's something we can do for you, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?